Amen. All right. So, we are in our second season here, and this second sermon on in the series, The World Changer. And so, I'm going to ask the youth and the kids to stay with me this morning, all right? And because I'm going to need your help, all right? And Miss Karen, she says hello. She's not feeling well this morning, but she's online. She's watching us online, and she's telling us, "Hey, good job, family, with lighting the candle." And the Watkins family, they're like, "Oh, I love the dresses that the girls are wearing." And so there's a number of people here. Mom is online watching us, Miss Louise, and so. Some friends from Fairbanks, Kim Pithlaya and her husband Keith are watching. Thank you for being with us this morning. And so just so you know that we are on that second sermon of this series. And I'm going to ask my bride if she will take this because I think I'm going to mess up. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You know, if I'm gonna spill it. I just know I'm gonna knock that. Okay. And so that'll be the entertainment. Nobody will remember a thing that I said. They'll just remember Pastor JR knocking over the juice, right? So so this morning, as we get into this, this morning's sermon message is the mighty God. He is the God who rescues us. That's the title of this morning's message. Yeah, sometimes it can be difficult to remember, or not necessarily for me, because I like the way that the Old Testament and the New Testament, how they just dovetail into one another. It's not like Old Testament, all right, and you put it to the side, and then the New Testament, you start reading it, and they go together. They go together like a peanut butter jelly sandwich. That's how they go together, right? They're not meant to be separate. And it's amazing during this Christmas season how we see these two testaments interchange and lock with each other. The Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, and this is where our title text is coming from, Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. When you start reading the first part of Isaiah the prophet, he's extorting all of the Israelites. He's telling them how messed up they are. He's telling them, you guys are sinning all the time. You're disobeying the laws that our Heavenly Father laid out for you. And then all of a sudden, like, in, you know, this is the first 7 chapters of Isaiah. He's just giving it to them. He's like, you guys are chewed up. And then, like, a needle on the record. Okay, a record is... Everybody knows what a record is, right? Okay, all right. Because some people might not know what a record is. All right, so like a record, a needle, all of a sudden, Isaiah 8, all of a sudden, it's like somebody took that needle and ran it across the abalone. He's like, ah! He just stops. And chapter 8 and 9, he begins this prophetic word. He doesn't talk about darkness anymore. He talks about the light. The visions of weeping become visions of joy and celebration. And the prophet's words begin to sound about to speak of the Messiah that is coming. It's there on the screen, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Father, this morning we dive into your word that you've given us. What a gift. And we thank you for providing your word to us, your love letter, and how it must make you smile when we not only read the letter of instructions that you've written to us in love, but when we live it out. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be assembled here this morning in this sanctuary, where it's warm, where your love is always warm. Guide the words that I would share this morning. In your name I pray, amen. There's always that thing, you know, when you start speaking of people, and you're like, oh, I forgot to mention them, you know? And so Sam would be here this morning. She says hello. She's watching too. Good morning, Sam. I hope your heat gets fixed. She said it's cold. So we'll be praying for you on that. But no, we're just excited that you're here with us this morning, Sam. So right on. So this is the second week of the Advent, Experience a World Changer. We are going to examine how Jesus, our mighty God, changed the world. Last week we talked about our awesome counselor, right? How the one who knows everything about you, he's like saying, why don't you just invite me in? I have something to share with you. I have something to impart with you that will make your life better. So this week we're talking about our mighty God. The biblical word used here for mighty God implies that God, he's like a superhero. You know, the kind that you see in movies and comics. God's love is unfailing, and his grace reaches into the deepest darkness to rescue you. I know that to be a fact, because that's where he found me. Found me in the darkest place I could have ever been. And he reached out and said, I got you, man. I see you. In Jesus Christ, we find the mighty hero who was born, who's prophesied. We see a mighty hero who tore the veil. We saw a mighty hero who will return. So let's talk about this mighty hero, the one who was prophesied over, who was prophesied in the Old Testament. The message is so important now more than ever. We live in a nation each day in a more secular world where the reading of God's word is looked upon as weird. They're like, oh man, you guys are so out of it. You're out of touch with reality. Come on, you're still reading that? What you're reading is so radically out of date. This Christmas season, for the most individuals in the United States, it has this nostalgic feeling, right? We love this time. I mean, I like this time. I love this time of year, right? You know, now you have radio stations that are fully dedicated to nothing but Christmas songs, right? You turn to Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, SoundCloud. They're all filled. You just turn to one of those. It's got a dedicated Christmas channel where all it's going to do is just play Christmas songs all the time. And you can get it in any type of variety that you want, right? You can get it traditional. You can get it hip-hop. You can get it rock, right? And if it's not that, then you can binge out on Netflix, Hulu, and on Disney Plus, and binge out on Christmas movies, right? So I looked up, like, what are the top Christmas movies? And I was looking for ones that are my favorites. And so The Grinch Who Stole Christmas was like 28. I'm like, and some of the ones that are listed there, I'm like, okay, I can't believe that The Grinch is so far down. And then another favorite for me is Polar Express, which is 29th on the list. And then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Come on, how can you not like that? It's only 15th, right? I'm like, okay. So, and then A Wonderful Life. A Wonderful Life, one of my favorites, is the top one. It's number one, What a Wonderful Life. Charlie Brown was at 14th. Can you believe that? Charlie Brown Christmas is at 14th? I couldn't believe it. I think, you know, although I've seen the movie, I had to think about it. I would have never considered Die Hard a Christmas movie, but I don't need to repeat any of his lines, but this isn't the place. But that Die Hard is a Christmas story, and it ranks 26. My goodness. Of course, we can't forget all of the romantic Hallmark countdowns, right? Oh, geez. I can't say that's a favorite of mine, but I know that people, they get into that, right? There's plenty of Christmas trees and gingerbread men and hot cocoa and lots of mistletoe and that type of thing going on. See, we are a society drowned in gift wrapping, card swiping, home decorating. And don't get me wrong, hear me. All those things with good intentions. All right, if there's nothing wrong, but where is the mighty hero in that? Where is the hero? Where is Jesus Christ in it? Why are we not? We seem to lose our focus. We're not celebrating him. It's like, okay, we have it's Adam's birthday, all right, and so we had this big party for Adam. But we don't even invite Adam. we don't even buy Adam a birthday gift. I buy a birthday gift for someone else other than like Adam. I buy a gift for me. Doesn't that seem backwards to you? Nothing wrong with the birthday, but you need to acknowledge whose birthday it is. And I feel that, as that song goes, we're slip sliding away. At Christmas, it's customary, and we will be reading this on Christmas Eve, this passage from Luke 2 about some shepherds who were tending the sheep in the field. An angel appears and they announce the Messiah's birth. A heavenly host of angels fill the sky and they're singing glory to God in the highest and on peace earth among men with whom he is pleased. It was extraordinary the way the Lord was received on this earth when he was born. Can you imagine this? Angels singing to you, worshiping you. What a powerful way to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. A baby that comes and is born in a feeding trough. A mighty hero born in a trough, in a barn, with real sheep and cows, with animal smells. If you've been around animals, you know how they smell. I mean, it's not like Chanel 5 or anything, I'm telling you. All right? They smell. They're not like the nice figurines that are sold in precious moments, right? This is important because it shows that the Messiah from day one was a down-to-earth individual. There's something that you have to respect about any individual that will come in and walk beside you. Regardless of where they come from, where they have riches and they say, you know what? Let me roll up my sleeves. Let me walk next to you. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He rolled up his sleeves. He was born on this earth in the feeding trough with smelly animals. Doesn't that sound like our life sometimes? Sometimes we're surrounded by some smelly stuff. And Jesus is right there with us. Our society needs this simple message now more than ever. Many families in the United States have seemingly everything they want. It seems like they have everything, right? Kids have a G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip. Okay, I just dated myself there. Okay, there's no more G.I. Joes with Kung Fu grips anymore. They're collector's items, all right? But it just seems as though, even though people might have everything, they don't. We try to entertain ourselves with music and other things. Especially during the season, right? We run gifts and we're all about baking. And again, these things, there's nothing wrong with those things, but they're not going to fill that void, that only Jesus can fill. The birth of Jesus, mighty God, was definitely a world changer. He was a mighty hero. He tore the veil. This word mighty means possessing great impressive power, right? Someone like our superheroes, right? Like the DC Comics. The superheroes, and my grandson had to get me straight on this, which were DC and which were Marvel. But so like DC Comics, right? So Superman, DC comic, yes? Help me out. Okay. All right. So I haven't messed up too much so far. All right. Superwoman, Wonder Woman, right? All of those are DC superheroes, yes? Whew. All right. I got that right. All right. So then we have the Marvel movies, right? So we have Spider-Man, yes? Okay. We have Black Panther. We have the Avengers, like Thor. Who else? Iron Man? Yeah. Captain America? The Hulk. I tell you what, the Hulk. You know what? All right. So it's not in scripture, but Hulk. I tell you what. There's this one scene in that movie that I just adore, right? What's Hulk's brother's name? Not Hulk's brother. Thor's brother. Loki, right? Right? So when Loki comes, he's in the room with Hulk, right? And he goes, I can't believe you. Don't you know who I am? I am a god, he says. And like when I watch this in the movie theater, I'm like, are you kidding me? And all of a sudden, Hulk swoops down, picks him up by his feet. Wham, 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 right? He's beating into a pulp. And you find Loki there in a pulp. A pile of rubbish there. And the Hulk says this. I'm like, man, this is right on. I love the writers. You're a puny god. You're a puny god. In comparison to everything else, all the other heroes, they are puny. In comparison to our awesome and mighty God. He needs no letter on his name. His chest, and he doesn't need a cape. And it always seems those superheroes, they come there, and they're right on time, right? They're like there to save the day, and then, you know, something gets messed up, but by the end of the movie, they save the day, right? Everything's good. Like the old cartoon, Mighty Mouse, right? Here I am to save the day. Right? There's only a couple people are saying, I know that one. I tell you what, we need salvation more than ever. And that's what our hero, our superhero, provides. Salvation. Society is crying out in so many ways. And they're in pain. And they're suffering. And they're in pain and suffering because of the sin that's in their life. Now, hear me, and I don't want to, just because you have a pain doesn't mean that you sinned, all right? If I hurt my knee, doesn't mean I sinned, all right? But I'm talking about that mental pain that's here in your heart and in your head, that suffering that goes on here, just because you filled it with the wrong thing. And Romans 22:23 tells us that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. The Old Testament tells us that due to our sin, it tells us in the Old Testament that there's a veil, right? There is a tabernacle, and there's the three parts of the tabernacle. But the place was the Holy of Holies. You had the most holy, but you had the Holy of Holies. That was the place. And in the Holy of Holies, the priest went in there only one time a year for the atonement of sin, where that an animal was sacrificed. And what separated everyone from that Holy of Holies was this veil. This veil was huge. Okay, so this veil was 60 feet high. All right, so from here, I measured it, I took a tape, so from here into the narthex, almost to the wall at 60 feet, all right? That's how high this curtain was, all right? And so then on top of that, the curtain was 30 feet wide. So from that end, I know you're not supposed to turn your back to the crowd, so from that end over there to this plant, that's 30 feet, okay? 30 feet. Not only that, the curtain, the thickness now, it wasn't no little bitty curtain, all right? This curtain was known to have been at least a hand's width, all right? The way we measure horses, right? By hands, all right? So this curtain was a hand, approximately 4 inches, all right? So this curtain was this thick. I'm just trying to, so you have something to associate. 60 feet, 30 feet, the curtain is this thick. I went online just to see how many people have torn a ream of paper, right, like this. I couldn't find one. There's people that can tear phone books, right, but nobody a ream of paper, let alone two reams of paper. This curtain was so strong that if you put a horse on either end, it was so strong you couldn't rip it apart. That's how strong this veil was. Two horses couldn't tear it apart. This veil was to keep our God and sinful people away. That veil was to keep us apart. That was the Holy of Holies. Even the Holy of the Holies, if the priest wasn't good, they like tied a little rope on his ankle. And if all of a sudden he didn't come out, it's like, uh-oh, he shouldn't have gone into the Holy of Holies. And they just pull him out. So why am I spending all this time on a curtain? When Jesus died on the cross, it's found in Matthew 27:50-51. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. When you're talking about Jesus, there's no such thing as coincidence. And when he died, when he gave up his spirit, that curtain was torn in two. Our mighty God, our superhero in Jesus Christ, he tore it. He tore it. He said, no more. No more will there be a curtain that keeps me and our mighty God apart from each other. No more. Because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, we can now hang out, if you want to use that word, that phrase. We can hang out with our God. Where all of the Old Testament, they never could. They never could. And yet we can. We can walk, we can be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Abba Father says, come here. Come here. Christ's blood was the atonement. He was the ultimate sacrifice. You've heard that song, Better Watch Out, You Better Not Cry. You know that song, right? Santa Claus is coming to town, right? Everybody's supposed to straighten up and fly right during Christmas time so you can get the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. I tell you, just because it's Christmas, it doesn't seem to keep us from our sinful natures. They just don't disappear like that. And it was the sacrifice of Jesus that took away our sins. Forever. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, through your sins are like, well, your sins are like scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So this is the good news. Liars, cheaters, thieves, those who struggle with envy, greed, gluttony, immoral thoughts. The veil has been torn. There's no more separation between you and the Father. Before Christ began his ministry on earth, John the Baptist testified in John 1:36. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's all a part of his plan. He knew that that was coming. He knew that by him coming to earth, little baby, one day in his 30s, he'd be hanging on a tree for you. For you. For me, the Old Testament and the New Testament, working in unison. The book of Hebrews was believed to have written by Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem who were enduring the persecution in Hebrews 10:19, where it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Jesus Christ opened himself for us. Perhaps most people today know that purpose and meaning are missing in their lives. There's something missing. They don't know what it is. They just know that they're missing something, right? And sin is what keeps separates us from hanging out with him. I said this before. I mean, sin is like that dirty diaper, right? That when you that baby 1 year old and that baby just loads up that diaper, right? And you're like, oh, gee, that stinks. Honey, come take this. No, it's your turn. No, you know what I'm talking about, right? That diaper that stinks. You want no part of it? That's the likeness of sin. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want anything to do with it. It smells. It stinks. We need to remember that Jesus died for us and He tore the veil so that way we can be in the Holy of Holies. No longer be separated by our Heavenly Father. Lastly, the mighty hero, he will return. And I know this is probably not, you're thinking, well, he's returning. This isn't like a Christmas message, right? This is something that you should be saying like during Easter or some other time, but not today. But why not? We celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ, his birth in the town of Bethlehem, but our hearts and our minds should be prepared for a second coming. After Jesus had risen from the grave and spent time with his disciples, the scripture says this to us about his ascension. He says in Acts 1, 9 through 11, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they are gazing into the heaven as he went beyond, old two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And this is an important message to relay to your family and friends. He is the answer. He's the answer to every person walking this earth. He's the answer to the abused and to the abuser. He is the answer to the spouse who's been cheated on and the one who has been unfaithful. He is the answer to the abandoned child and to the parents who abandoned them. He is the answer to a family who has lost a loved one due to a drunk driver. But he's also there for the drunk driver. I know that's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around, right? We just heard that on the news this last week, where a recovery vehicle operator, his life was taken by a drunk driver. First Peter 2:24 tells us, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." We should be able to look forward to that day that he comes again. A lot of emphasis is placed on how he will return. Eschatology is the subject, and a lot of people place a lot of time and a lot of emphasis on that. Hear me, church. Be ready. However he comes back, because we don't know when he's come back, but be ready. Be ready. If he came back today, would you be ready? Let me ask you that. Would you be ready? Because he could come back today. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want to be the person that's on your knees saying, "It's him. It's really him. Jeez, I should have paid attention to what JR was saying this morning. Because now he's here and I'm not ready." I can't make you be ready, but I want you to be ready. And more importantly, he wants you to be ready, because everyone will confess that he is Lord, even those who are pushing him to the curb right now. Let me close. Come on. Our God, he's the whole package. Jesus is the whole package. He's a mighty hero. And we've got to be ready for when he comes back. We just cannot be sitting idly by. This Christmas season is a precious time of year like no other. It is a lovely time to fellowship with friends and families and neighbors and co-workers. We don't necessarily need to have sentimental song and watch all the Hallmark movies, the countdowns, the traditions. But we do need to keep at the forefront is the reason why we are celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's his birthday. Don't lose grasp of that. It's his birthday. And he came here for you and me so that we get an everlasting life. It's hard to even. Okay, I'm coming to earth for the purpose of dying for people who don't even acknowledge me on my birthday. We are to be celebrating a mighty God who has prophesied. He is a hero who tore the veil and gave men and women, children, access to him through the forgiveness of his son, Jesus. He's going to come again. Oh, yes. He's coming again. What will you say to him? What will he say to you? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the gift that you gave us. The gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that everyone would receive that gift that you have given us. That you freely give. All we have to do is but surrender. We just have to say, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of the way the world has treated me. I need someone, not something. And Father, that is your Son, Jesus. And in 2020, when things have really shaken us as a nation, as a people, as your bride, your church has been shaken, we need to show the world that we have not been shaken. Thank you for the ultimate gift, Father. Amen.